Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, let's continue our teaching. We have been talking about what we call the purpose of life, and we have been studying a number of things along the line. I'd like to, as I always do, review for a few moments some of the things that we have said. We have established the fact that man has a spirit, man has a soul, and man has a body. Those are the three different parts that make up mankind, and each one of them needs to be maintained. Each one of them needs to be fed. So the body, physical body, requires food, it requires water, it requires physical air. And I was listening to Mike Murdock. He said learning, knowledge is the food of the soul. And we said that the food of the spirit is something that is drawn from the supernatural realm. It's the knowledge of God. The contact with God, with the realm of the spirit, is necessary for sustaining the spirit. And any one of these three that you do not sustain will lead to the death, all right, the demise of the individual. These things are real. That's the way God made them. We have established the fact that if anybody wants to deny the fact that the spiritual exists, what he ends up doing is going towards the negative side of the spiritual. And we also said that a lot of people who are trying to contact the realm of the spirit, because they are not ready, that's actually the major problem. Because I will say that briefly, if men really want to know God, God will reveal himself, all right, to them. He will reveal himself to them. The problem is when they are not really seeking to accept the terms that he's going to give them. That's the major problem. People have said a lot of times that you are a Christian because you were born in a Christian home. I used to believe those things when I was young, but now I know it's a fat lie. Are you getting my point? It's a fat lie. If you really are seeking after God, if you like, be born in the house of the Dalai Lama in Tibet. Are you getting my point? God will come there and reveal his son, Jesus Christ, to you. And that's what he did with Cornelius. Please get that point. God is looking out for anybody who's crying out for him. And he will cross rivers, all right? He will traverse oceans, cross many lands to reveal himself to those people. So I'm not a Christian today because you were born in a Christian society. That's not, look, if I was born in Saudi Arabia, in the house of the mightiest imam, all right, with a heart that's reaching out for God, Jesus Christ will have revealed himself to me. Let's not argue about that. That one is a matter of fact. So if somebody is reaching out for God, all right, he will reveal himself. So we have said that the problem is a lot of people are not reaching out for the true God, but then the spirit still needs to be fed. So they end up in a place where they are serving the devil, and that's a matter of fact. That we said that people will come to Jesus and say, what must we do to gain eternal life? Are you getting my point? And they will explain it to them. And many people are still asking that question every day. We said a man will come and say, what must I do to be rich? And he goes to a babalawo, and that one will tell him, bring your first son. It's the same question, all right? If he had known, he would have followed the order of God, and God would have blessed him eventually. I said that the difference between the devil and God is what they offer. That is the method, the process. The Satan will say, just wait. Right now, I give it to you. Now. But God will say to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. And we began to talk about the issue of walking with God. That it's a walk. It's not a run. It's a persistent, slow and persistent thing. A man is walking. A woman is walking with God. And what God is trying to bring out of that life is perfection. Please bear that in mind. When we're saying perfection, now we're not saying the person would never make a mistake in life. We'll see as we go on. Perfection means that you have reached a place where you have come to the true knowledge of God. And that's what you are walking by. What God wants to bring out of every life is perfection. And when perfection has been established in the life, then God can bring forth his blessings. Do you follow the point I'm making? What happens is that people are following God a lot of times just because of what they are going to get. They are not seeking perfection. They are following God just because of what they are going to get. If you see somebody going every day, prayer meeting, night vigil, fasting and praying, what is it I have said to God? This year I must marry. Are you getting my point? And listen to me. Let me tell you clearly. God is very good at disappointing such expectations. Are you getting me? If you are not, listen, let me just say this by the way before I get into the meeting I'm saying. If you claim to be walking with God, but what you really have in your mind is what you are going to get, he's very good at disappointing you. And one of the things that God does for people is that he'll bring you to a point where he will make it appear to you. And listen, don't think he's joking. A lot of those times he's serious. That listen, walk with me, that's just one thing I won't give you. And one of the reasons he does is, let's just be clear, walk with me is not bribery. Are you getting my point? You're not bribing me to bring forth a blessing. You are not. You have to walk with me for the sake of walking with me. When I've brought out my perfection in you, then I can manifest all kinds of things through your life. Do you get my point? I said we've already established that. So we have to walk with God. It's a persistent walk. That's what the real food of our spirit is. And that spirit must be fed. I said something last time. Let me review it briefly. And then I'll from there go into what I am going to be speaking about today. In fact, it's a continuation of what I've been discussing. Let me start with one. Let's read the scripture again. And it will help me review that thing. The book of Colossians chapter 1. Okay, what I'm reviewing is the purpose of the Christian walk. And we're talking about the purpose of life, all right? When we are believers, our everyday walk, what is the purpose? And that's what I'm trying to review. I said that it is the development of Christ's nature inside us. That's what it is. If I let me read the scripture first before I go back to this Colossians chapter 1. Quickly, let me read that 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll jump here and there. Let me just start from verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory. He said, and excellence. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers or experiencers, I said that last time, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. For this very reason also, applying all diligence, please, that's my emphasis again, verse 5, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In moral excellence, knowledge, and then add self-control. To that, add perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. He said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see something that is emphasizing again and again. You see the word knowledge of God, knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ here and there. I said at the beginning that knowledge is important. Knowledge is power. When I say knowledge is power now, I don't mean that what you know will help you make money, that you know the market and all of that. That's not what I'm saying. I said when you're seated in a place, the very thoughts of your heart is deciding what your future is going to be like. And that knowledge is what we inculcate into our children when we teach them how to give thanks before eating. If you give, listen to this. If you teach your children since they are young, to really, not just as a habit, bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake, amen. No, that's what I'm saying. That they understand gratitude that this food before us was given to us by our Father who art in heaven. Are you getting my point? And his name is to be hallowed. Those children will never be hungry all their lives. The fact is that they know and they are established in the fact that food comes from God. That's what I mean by knowledge is power. They will never lack, they will never be hungry all their lives. If they grow up with the knowledge of the fact that God is the all-sufficient God, if they grow up with the fact that, that's with the knowledge of the fact that God supplies food to the birds of the air, he's the one that clothes the flowers of the field. If they grow up with that knowledge, they will never lack in life. There's a calm resolve that will emanate from their soul all the time that will always draw good towards them. They will never lack. That's what I mean by knowledge is power. So you see what God tries to emphasize to us is what we know. And the first and most important thing is the knowledge of him. Are you getting my point? When we reach for that, we are actually walking with God. Like I said, what he's doing first of all is to bring forth his nature into us. And that nature, listen to this. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. I'm going to talk about grace. It's multiplied in the knowledge of God. And you see further down, he said, these qualities, they should be yours and be increasing. They will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what I'm trying to bring out from here is this. As we increase in that knowledge, what happens is that the manifestation of divine nature in us also increases. That's the point I'm trying to make. Let me emphasize the meaning of the word manifestation of divine nature. What it means is that, for example, you know, in the time of lack, as an example, there was time Jesus was supposed to pay a fee, you know, pay the temple tax, and there was no money. They just told Peter, listen, go to the water nearby, cast your hook in there, bring out the first fish you see. In the mouth, there's enough money to pay for you and for me. That's what they call the manifestation of divine nature. God's all-sufficiency just showing up when suddenly there was a need and there was no money in their pockets. Are you getting my point? And it says that as that knowledge in you is increasing, you will have more experiences like that in your life. That's what it's saying. Do you get my point? Listen, there's a knowledge of God that settles into your soul, and healing is yours automatically even before you pray. Do you get my point? That's why I said if you bring up children and they understand that knowledge, that food comes from God, they will never be hungry. They are like, listen, they will just be lucky. Everywhere they turn, fools will be waiting for them. If you bring any child up, any young person up with the knowledge of God, divine nature will be manifested every time. And I'm going to explain that again as we go on. Because the problem we have is that we are brought up a lot of times with the knowledge of works. If you give money, you will be rich. Arrant nonsense. Once you move with that kind of attitude, you are not recognizing the all-sufficiency of God. You are proposing works as a method of becoming rich. I said to you last time, a cheerful giver is a man who knows God. That's all he is. Go and read my track, Cheerful Giver. Download from our website, kwm.com.ng. A cheerful giver is somebody who knows God. And for that reason, he despises money, if you know what I'm trying to say. He doesn't hold on to it. Say, money, you don't guarantee tomorrow for me. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is, the needs that come, I have enough money to meet it for the day. That's why I'm generous. Because I'm not thinking that if I hold this, it will secure tomorrow for me. Do you get my point? That's what we're talking about, knowledge. Now, listen to this. We said that what is God doing? All right? First of all, in our lives, now I'm saying, what he's doing is to form his nature into us, listen to this, by increasing us in the knowledge of him. Now, before I develop that further, let me go back to the other thing I was saying. You know, I said we should open the book of Colossians chapter 1, all right? Let me read that thing again, because what I'm going to do is to review the wrong things that people do in claiming that they are working for God, in claiming that they are working with God. Colossians chapter 1. Let me just jump to the verse I need. From verse 13, it says, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Let me stop there. It says, in Christ Jesus, we have redemption. Last time I said this, I want to say it again so as to emphasize it. People, a lot of times, they are walking. They are diligent Christians. It appears like outwardly. Remember I said that you can't judge what is inside a man's heart. You can see an adult running in the afternoon. Either he's pursuing something or something is after him. The fact that he's running is proof of nothing. You have to go and check his front and check his back. And when it comes to motivations in life, they are in the heart. Are you getting my point? So all you see that he's running. In his heart, maybe something is pursuing him. In his heart, maybe he's the one running after something. You do not know. Now, that's what I'm talking about when you're looking at people from outside. So you see somebody who is diligent as a Christian. What is it that's making him diligent like that outwardly? The real thing that matters is what God sees in his heart. Because God said in Jeremiah chapter 17, when we read from verse 10, that I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, before I recompense a man for what he's doing outwardly. Are you getting my point? So if somebody is appearing to be working diligently as a believer, or you listening to me are the one working so hard in church, every morning you are up and you are praying, you've gone around the society, you know, with loudspeaker, waking everybody up early in the morning to preach the gospel to them. It's a good thing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Every bus you enter, before they move, you must preach. These are all good works. But why are you doing them? That's what I'm trying to say. If you are doing them because it is your own payment for the days of your iniquity, you are still a sinner. That's what I'm trying to explain. That sacrifice is not at all acceptable to God. We do not walk with God so we can pay for the days of iniquity. That's why we read this Colossians chapter 1. It said, in Christ Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin. Please notice it. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's in Christ Jesus that we have forgiveness of sins. It's not in our good works. It does not produce the forgiveness of sins. I gave the illustration last time that you don't know the weight of sin, so you don't know the amount of good works you have to do so as to counterbalance the weight of sin in your life. So what we do is that we simply run into Christ Jesus and we are totally washed of all sins and we do not have to try and pay back for them. Listen, I must say this clearly. You cannot pay back for the days of evil by doing good works today. Anytime you try to do that, you are saying to God clearly that you do not yet have the ability to forgive me by the blood of Jesus. You are saying to God that the blood that Jesus shed is not potent enough. I am too much of a sinner for that blood. That's what you are saying. And what it does is that it withdraws the power of grace from you. And may you not see the wrath of God for that kind of insult that you are giving to him. Very important. That's number one. Number two, that is another reason why people work very hard for God, and it's a wrong reason, is when they think, I alluded to it earlier, that by doing that, they are buying favors. Do you get my point? By doing that, they think that they are going to be able to speak boldly in the time of prayer. The one I said that's very common in Christianity today is when you have given tithes and you have given offerings. Somebody now tells to you, actually he's lying to you, you may not know, that when you want to pray, take your check stubs with which you gave those monies and begin to show to God that look at how diligent I have been as a giver. Look at it, you will bless me back in return. Anytime you say that, you are lying before God. He's looking at you and he's shaking his head that this boy, this girl does not know anything yet. You do not prosper in Christianity because you did good works for God. You don't get favor from him because of what you did for him before now. The Bible says it like this. It says, who has given to him that he should demand back from him? That's not possible. Nobody gave anything to him first so as to be able to demand from him. Like I said before, a Christian becomes a giver. He's not a getter trying to use giving as a route to getting. Do you get my point? So we don't work for God because we want to get from him. People say, oh, God is going to bless you. Why? Because you are the first to come to church. If the reason why you are rushing to church is because you want to tap a blessing from God, you are wasting time. I know many people listening to this have never heard this kind of thing before. Unfortunately, it is the truth, and you have wasted a lot of time. You know now, you have done a lot of things, believing that this will produce this for you. God, this is the dangerous seed I have sown. This year is the year of my prosperity. You said that 3 years ago. That year passed 3 years ago. Till now, the dangerous seed has not brought any even a safe prosperity. It hasn't brought it. How much more a dangerous one? Do you get my point? You know the reason. It's simple. It is because it does not work like that. That is the simple reason. We don't work for God or work with him because we want to use that as a bargaining chip, all right, when we are going to be making requests. The reason why God gives things to you, let me say it simply, is because he loves you. And that is the simple reason. And anybody who approaches him in faith because he or she recognizes that God loves me is the one that will get something out of his hand quickly. Are you getting my point? Anybody who approaches saying this is the work I have done that qualifies me for this amount of blessing, the person is going to leave disappointed. Do you get the point I'm making? So we are not working with God so that we'll be able to give to us. What is the main reason why we are walking with God? That's what I'm trying to explain, all right? That the main reason is because we want to be like him. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Let me say it again. Our number one reason, in fact, the only reason, yes, I think that's better to put it like that. The only reason why we are walking with God is because we want to be like him in this existence. That's what it means. We said from the beginning that the Bible says that Jesus was the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Therefore, if I am a teacher, listen to this, Christians, listen carefully. If I am a teacher, I walk with God so that I will perfectly represent him as a teacher. I am not walking with him so that he will make me a multimillionaire. If I want to be a multimillionaire, I ask. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have something. If there was something wrong with wanting to ask something, why would Jesus say, whatever you desire, ask? There's nothing wrong. You must understand that I say all the time, my life, having worked with God for this number of years, I have observed one thing. There is nothing, let me say it again, there is nothing really that I ask God for and I don't change my mind, because sometimes this year you ask for a red car, the following year you find out that red is very common, you now want a blue one. Then all your neighbors buy blue, you don't want blue again, you change it to yellow. There is nothing that I want from the Lord and I ask him for and I relax before him that I don't get. I may not get it that year. I may not get it that month. Sometimes I don't get it when I think I need it, but eventually I get it. The only ones I don't get is when, maybe because of time, I realize it was a nonsense and unnecessary prayer. Do you get the point I'm making? But listen, you know what I'm going to emphasize? Anything you desire, the Bible says you should pray. Are you getting my point? It didn't say you should bribe. Sometimes people say when you want to ask God, you first enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Listen, the Bible says God is not mocked. You can't make a mockery of him. If you want to ask for something, you don't get to the door and say, Lord, I want to praise you. I just want to praise you. I want to praise you. He knows your heart. He tell the angels, say, come, this boy needs something. Why is he wasting time with this praise? This praise is not going to do anything for us.
Are you getting my point? Unless he's in doubt, so let him praise himself. Let him praise until, or let him praise and remove his unbelief. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he's in doubt, let him pray himself into, praise himself into faith. But it's not going to move us. I said to us before, praise is good for us. It's not the food of God. We don't bribe him with it. I can't imagine myself being in the room and my son coming inside and say, "Daddy, I want to talk to you." I say, "You know, you're a very good daddy. You're a correct daddy. You are the ultimate daddy. The daddy that has everything that he can give to his children. Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy." After a while, I started wondering, what's going on? Actually, can I take that piece of cake in the sitting room? The whole praise, I know, is nonsense. That's the way it is with God also. If you want something, be brief about it. "Father, I thank you. You are my supplier. That's why I have come. Can I have this?" Be brief. The Bible says God is in heaven and you're on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. We don't bribe God. Let me quickly knock this one out of your vocabulary or your mentality also. You don't say, "Because I want this, let me go to church and go and give an offering." That offering is not acceptable unto God. If my son was to enter the room and say, "Daddy, I want to thank you because you have been a very good daddy." He says that for a few minutes and walks away. I would appreciate it. Are you getting my point? I would appreciate it. We don't do all of these things because, you see, listen, we have, you know, God said something. He said, "Because I did not talk, you thought I was like one of you." Sometimes we think God is like us. We need to be wound and twisted and cajoled before we do things for people. But he's not like that. The Bible says that God knows what you need even before you ask him. That was what the Lord Jesus said. That's why we make sure that our words are few. What am I saying? So we're not walking with God because of what we are going to get out of his hands. Why are we walking with him? Listen, because in walking with him, we become like him. Are you getting my point? I am a preacher. So, in walking with God, this is my faith. This is what I believe. As I'm being changed, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm an individual. I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. As I am being changed to become like the image of Christ Jesus, what happens is that it reflects in all that I do. That's why, quickly, go to that Psalm 1. Let me explain something there. You look at it again. He said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." Please notice something here. This man, he was not walking towards prosperity. Can you see that? The Bible never said he decided to go and plant himself somewhere solid so that he can have plenty of prosperity. He said, no, his delight, you must understand that. The word delight means what you enjoy. The word delight means that which you desire, what you love to have. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that one makes him talk about it day and night. That forms the guide for his life. That becomes the restraint in his walking. In everything he does, is the law of the Lord, all right, that matters to him. As a consequence, he prospers automatically. Do you get the point I'm making here? As a consequence, he does what? He prospers automatically. What happens is that the word of God pours into him the divine nature. That's what I'm saying. And part of the divine nature is that a man prospers. Are you getting my point? One day I was speaking with somebody. He said, "Is it true that if a man is righteous, he can't be poor?" I said, "Yes, it is true." He said, "I don't equate prosperity with righteousness." I never did. You ask me a simple question. If a man is righteous, he will not be poor. Yes. If he is poor, he's not righteous totally. I said that boldly. He said, "Pastor Banke, how do you know?" David said, "I have been young. Now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread." I'm in good company in that thought. I didn't say he'll be a multi-millionaire traveling in a convoy. Did I say so? I did not say so. But that if a man walks and he has the nature of God, listen, God said his bread will be given him and his water will be sure. I'm very sure of that. But this righteous man, what does he do? What is he like? He delights in the law of the Lord. He doesn't come to the law of the Lord to come and find out what are the keys to press so as to come into prosperity. Those are manipulators of the law of the Lord. Are you getting my point? Listen, in Christianity today, we have mixed the whole thing up. We say these are the things that even Muslims do and they prosper. I don't care who does it and he prospers. If the thing is not transmitting me or transforming me into the image of Christ, it's nonsense. I don't care who prospers by it. I did not come here to learn the laws of prosperity. I come here to learn the nature of God. Are you getting my point? This is very important. Let's read this scripture because this was the one I wanted to start with today. The book of Matthew chapter 11. The Lord Jesus said in verse 28, or beginning from there, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Why I came to this is that word learn. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." He said, "For my yoke is easy, and my load or my burden is light." Please notice verse 29. Jesus said, if anybody is tired and has pressures in life, like I said in previous episodes, that it's because there is a lack of the manifestation of the glory of God. He said, what the person needs is to take the yoke of Christ upon him. And how does he do that? It's by learning. How does he do it? By learning. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When you do that, you will find rest for your souls. Why am I saying this? I was saying earlier that the way by which God transmits his nature into us is through knowledge. Are you getting my point? Remember, we started at the beginning of this series when we read from the book of John chapter 17 that Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the true God. Now listen to this. The amount of eternal life that somebody experiences is directly proportional or directly tied to the degree of the knowledge of God that he has. I'm talking about number one assignment that Christians have. It is to pursue the knowledge of God. Many people, when they get to a church as Christians, the first thing they do is to look for an activity group to join. That is putting the cart before the horse. The truth is that most people are restless. Are you getting my point? They are restless. People have come to me several times before. Pastor Banky, you are doing a lot of work. We would like to cooperate with you in this work you are doing. How can we help? And the person is standing in front of me. I said, number one thing you do, just come regularly and sit down. Along the line, you find something to do. I'm not lying to you. God in heaven is my witness. Most times, I don't see the people again. What I've told you is not a lie. Most times, I don't see them again. But if I said to them, I need somebody to carry my bag and follow me around anytime I want to move, they will never miss it. As I'm parking, they will be there beside my car. What do you do? I am the carrier of Pastor Banky's bag. And I have never said anything else to anybody. Once I finish sharing that, I will say to them simply, well, I really don't know what you can do for us. If the person is with me physically. All right? But just come around. People come to me all the time. They say that, sir, I want you to be my mentor. You know, I hear all kinds of things like that. Please, if you are hearing this, don't ever come to me to say that again. Two young men that introduced me, one to his father, the other one to a federal minister at that time. Both of them introduced me and said, sir, meet my mentor. There was never a day we sat down to discuss. You are going to be the mentor, and I'm going to be the mentee. There's nothing. or protege. No! What I just see is that I see them around. They come anytime, once in a while, they just stop by. Good afternoon, sir. They want to chat with me. When they have issues, they come and discuss. When I'm teaching, they are sitting down listening. And one day, it was a function that was going on, and the young man was the one hosting it. And this big man, this federal minister was around. And he said, sir, I would like you to meet my mentor. And he introduced me to him. That was the first time in my life somebody was calling me a mentor. A lot of people have said, I'd like it to be my... They don't come. They are in any good. They don't come to where I'm teaching. And I laugh at them. And I tell them, I said, what do you mean by mentoring? What is mentoring? It's not to teach you what I know. Yes, sir. And the place where I'm teaching, you don't have enough time to come. You know, you can't spend the time to come and listen. And we're talking about just 2 hours in a week. And you'll be fooling yourself that I want to be like that man. You're deceiving yourself. Most people are restless. That's what I'm saying. They are restless. If I give them an assignment, okay, get up. When you come to my house, first in the morning, make sure my car is clean. And then you come out, you hang my suit, and you do this. They'll be there. That's why they came to Jesus and said, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe. What they wanted to hear is, what must we do to shake away this tyranny of the Romans? And Jesus would say, go and get your sword and your bow and your arrow. We are going to take Jerusalem back. Hey, everybody go here. But no, Jesus looked at them and said, just relax and believe. No, men are too restless. They don't like that. I'll continue from that point next time.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.